Africa is on Twitter at Africa Milani.
16 minutes now, it is past 5 o'clock this Tuesday morning. We're joined now via Zoom by the leader of Shiluba, the political party led by Bongani Baloyi, that's calling for the abolishment of the constitution, saying that it should be replaced by parliamentary supremacy. Bongani, a very good morning and welcome to the show.
Good morning and thank you for having me on your show.
Why propose the change? What's wrong with our constitution?
Look, we firmly believe that the lives of Africans have had marginal improvement over the past 30 years of our democracy. And we fundamentally believe that there has to be a change in the system that we're currently using. And we therefore believe that it's important for us to move away from the constitutional democracy to a parliament sovereignty. Now, there's a fundamental difference of the two systems. And one of the main differences of the two systems is the fact that the constitution remains the full area or domain of parliament to make laws, whereas your judiciary can deal with matters of administrative justice insofar as our parliament or rather our state is concerned. But the role of the judiciary would be to implement the laws made by parliament. So there's a fundamental difference. We believe that the superior structure should be parliament. So we're not saying do away with the constitution. We're just saying that the constitutional authority must vest in the parliament as opposed to the judiciary.
So explain it to me as if I were a four-year-old, if you will, Bongani. A typical example, for example, that has been frustrated by a constitutional supremacy that you believe a parliamentary supremacy would have been able to address better.
Look, firstly, I think the issues around the transformation is very important because there's various contestations around that where minorities exercising their rights to go to the constitutional court. And we find that over a period of time, the constitutional court has been encroaching in matters in our view that it shouldn't have. So now you're finding a situation more and more that's apparent that the law, that actually this country is ran from the judiciary side. And you fundamentally believe that that is incorrect, that the matters pertaining to policy should vest solely in parliament. And that's why we believe that we need to consolidate the power and the will of the people translated into parliament so parliament can make the relevant laws it feels that it should. And if there's any contest around those laws, it should be about the process of making those laws. So when we depart from where we are today is because we see that the level of transformation has stagnated. And we firmly believe one of the fundamental mistakes made at the CODESA negotiations was agreeing that they will move away from the parliamentary sovereignty to a constitutional democracy, which has various limitations. And we firmly believe that that is the wrong mistake that was made then that we must correct. Because we firmly believe that as a party, a new party, we're coming with a different set of ideas. We don't want to sustain the status quo and defend the status quo. We really want to transform the lives of Africans. And when we speak Africans, we're speaking Black people and colored people in the main, whose lives, in terms of economic indicators, are really stagnated and has marginal growth, where we remain spectators. So when you consolidate power in parliament, I think we'll be able to transform the lives of people much better.
It would then require a fundamental difference, I would imagine, or different ways of electing our parliamentary officials, I suppose, where the parliamentarians are answerable to me, to Barry, to Conley, to Tobela, all of us individuals who are hardworking, contributing positively to this country, as opposed to having it rest with the head office and headquarters of the various political parties, which is what is happening at the moment. And I raise this point, Bongani, because we saw under the Zuma administration, Parliament failing to carry out its, quite frankly, legal and I would argue moral obligation of holding the executive to account and instead protecting an administration that was not doing right by South Africans.
Certainly. And we firmly believe that people must actually take seriously their responsibility to vote. And when you do so, you must do so fully cognizant of the consequences. It's not children who are voting, it's adults who are voting. And that's why the age is above 18 and the majority of adults vote in this country. So we firmly believe that people must take that quite seriously because it has various implications. And the fact that in the past, various parliamentarians did not put their country first is not anything that can be put on our doorstep, but must be put on the doorstep of the ANC, because we're coming with something very different. And we're saying informed by Ubuntu. And one of the key principles informed by and underpinned by Ubuntu is meritocracy. So the piece, the persons who are elected to go and represent us in parliament must be people who are able and capable to do so. But beyond that, we firmly believe that when you get to parliament, parliament is an expression of the will of the people. So whether you elect people via political parties or directly, it's people who it's voters and citizens who still go and vote for those people. And therefore, that's why we are in a representative democracy. So if those whom we elect do not do their part, our citizens must actually express their will and go and vote them out. We can't move away from those basic fundamentals about a democracy.
I'm going to push a little bit more. Once again, given the brazenness of state capture at times in our recent history in South Africa, it was, in fact, in some way, the Constitutional Court that protected us from further exploration of our assets for individual benefit of certain key people, particularly around the president. It was, at some point, the Chief Justice Mogoeng Mogoeng, who had to remind the politicians of their responsibility, both moral and legal, in serving the people of South Africa. So the Constitutional Court, as the final arbiter, if you like, of the constitutional law under which we're operating in South Africa, certainly was advantageous for the people of South Africa when they're not.
It was advantageous, and that's why we make that distinction here. Then number one, we believe that policy should remain the full domain of parliament and parliament only. And that when you can, the only way you can review our laws is for the same parliament to review our laws. And the administrative justice can still be taken for review in any court. There's no fundamental difference. So the same situation and the recourse we still have where decisions are made in government insofar as administrative part of government. And we don't believe that is correct that there's recourse for citizens and various individuals to pursue that. So there's a fundamental distinction here. Where did our parliament, the Constitutional Court to make a ruling insofar as our policy, which was problematic because it was made by errant parliamentarians. There's a few cases where that happened. And the case you draw is not about policy. It's about administrative actions taken by our state, which went sound, which allowed for the abuse of the state and the capture of the state as well. So there's a big difference. So your concern you raise is not a concern. I mean, it's a concern that's misplaced in the scenario because it speaks to the administrative justice or actions rather as opposed to policy.
All right. Do you want to give us an example then where the Constitutional Court made a ruling and a finding and a judgment on a matter of policy that you believe Parliament should have been given the prerogative to do?
There's various rulings. One is the ruling about people who occupy parcels of land, and that they have once they on that parcel, then the Power Act, in fact, when they're on that the piece of land for more than 48 hours, as a landowner, government cannot longer remove them there. You need to approach a court of law. And before you can even remove them, they need to ensure that they get the necessary suitable alternative accommodation. And it is very impractical. And it also suggests that the rights of those who go and invade a piece of land are more important than the rights of a landowner once they've been there on the piece of land for more than 48 hours.
But does it take away the right of Parliament to then go look at that piece of legislation and go, guys, this is not serving the people of South Africa, so therefore let's undertake whatever processes as spelled out by parliamentary rules to review that aspect of the law?
It's a law which is also being made now through a judgment of court. That's the point I'm drawing to you. That is, as a consequence of a judgment of court, that you now cannot remove people on a piece of land if they've been there for more than 48 hours. It wasn't initially a parliament act or a law. It was challenged in court, and as a consequence of the challenge, the substance changed. And as a consequence of the substance changing, now it's impractical to implement and has given birth to this new situation where there's a mushrooming informal settlements all over the area as a consequence of people invading land. And if you miss the 48 hours, now there's consequences. So that 48-hour part that I'm suggesting to you is a consequence of the substantive judgment from court and not parliament.
Fair enough. And we're seeing the consequences of that because there was a moratorium on evictions during COVID-19. And suddenly the major urban areas, Cape Town, Johannesburg, Tshwane, Durban, are suffering the consequences of that ruling and that decision. Is this narrative finding resonance with the people of South Africa?
The people that we are engaging are absolutely supportive of what we are trying to do. Because the system we're currently using is not assisting us, and we are a party that is really intent and intentional around transforming the economy and ensuring that we can also nationalize nationalize minerals of this country for the benefit of all citizens in this country. So the agenda we are leading requires us to consolidate the power within Parliament, for us to be able to transform the lives of Africans as we see. So we are getting the full support in areas where we are campaigning and speaking to South Africans, and they're quite supportive of this agenda.
All right, let's find out if Cape Talk and 702 listeners are included in that list. Thank you very much, Bongani Baloyi, leader of Shiluba. They're calling for the abolishment of the constitution, saying it should be replaced by parliamentary supremacy, saying that some of the challenges currently facing the country are consequences of the system that the currently has in place right now. Do you agree with him? Would you like to see a change? Give me a call on 021 446 0567 or 118 833 0702.